Welcome to Fandom 5, your weekly podcast for lists of things that would probably get you beat up in the 6th grade. It's the first full week of November, all the leaves are finally off the trees, you're starting to wonder how the meteorologist can call this unseasonably cold considering it feels exactly like this every year. Christmas stuff has been out in the stores for at least 3 weeks. If you're in a chilly climate, curl up with a cup of hot cocoa to listen to this week's Fandom 5. If you're in a warm climate, then fuck you. You don't truly understand what the holiday season is really supposed to feel like. Number one on the Fandom 5 this week is thefandom.net. Now that's not just me putting inappropriate articles where they don't belong. The website is thefandom.net. THEFANDOM.net. Appropriate website title is appropriate. I can't believe it's taken me 3 episodes to get to it. TheFandom.net is exactly what it sounds like, a website dedicated to fandom. Now, it's not general fandom, it tends more towards sci-fi, like Game of Thrones and Harry Potter, but it has forums and news and all sorts of fun stuff. My favorite part of the site is the play section, that has quizzes and games. I took a couple of the quizzes, and will now announce my results for your amusement. The first quiz is the fandom quiz, which tells you which character type you'd be in each fandom, like what Harry Potter house you'd be sorted into, or which family you'd be a member of in Game of Thrones. Some of these I'm not sure what they are, so I just stuck with the big results. For Harry Potter, I'd be sorted into Hufflepuff. Now, I'm not a big Potter fan, so I don't really know what that means, but when I told that to my friends who are Potter fans, they laughed at me. In Game of Thrones, I'm House Stark. You can't see it, but I totally just did a fist pump. In Lord of the Rings, I'm a human. Now, it simply says man on the website, but I'm all for an equal opportunity Middle Earth. I'd be a droid in Star Wars, which I'm not crazy about because I think it supports my brother's claims that I'm a sociopath. In Star Trek, I'm a Romulan. That's probably accurate. Now, here's the big one. On Doctor Who, I would be the Doctor. Yes, not just some random Time Lord, not just a companion, the Doctor. Fuck yes. I also took the Who's Your Fandom Crush quiz, and I'm not really sure what the results mean. I'm not sure if it's the who you have a crush on or who would have a crush on you, but anyway, I ended up with the Doctor. I could be a future regeneration, and I travel back in time and fall in love with the 10th Doctor, and then we have weird time paradox babies. Now, this quiz also said that I'm least compatible with Voldemort, which I'm guessing is probably a good thing. Number two this week is something from way back in 2004 that I had forgotten about until I was scrolling through old Rotten Tomatoes threads. This one is for Lost fans. It's the Sawyer song. People who were fans of Lost back in 2004 are probably familiar with it, and are now probably being filled with epic levels of nostalgia. But people who started the series later will probably never have seen it. It's a ridiculous little video about Sawyer, things that are Sawyer, things that aren't Sawyer, and so on. It's sung in this insane and kind of disturbing little voice, and it has screen caps attached, and the entire combination always makes me laugh. And keep a lookout for that now oddly prophetic final line. The main reason I'm really putting this on the list, though, is to bring Lost fans all the way back to Season 1, when we had no idea what was going on, but really had no idea that we had no idea that was going on, because we had no idea how massive and crazy the show was going to be. So go on. Return to innocence. Third for this week is the Skyfall trailer. The next James Bond movie opens this Friday, and I'm pretty psyched about it. I admit I was wary after the completely forgettable mess that was Quantum of Solace, though apparently opinions on that movie are divided. My brother and I could only remember that it was a James Bond movie, and that the French guy from Diving Bell and the Butterfly was the baddie, but my dad and best friend could remember seemingly every frame of the movie. Well, I thought it was a snooze fest, and I was worried that the new movie would be too, but the trailer is awesome and it's getting fantastic reviews. Besides, I'm always in for a movie where Ben Whishaw is precocious and Javier Bardem has bad hair. Number 4 is for film fans. It's the 50% off Criterion sale at Barnes & Noble. For those of you not in the know, Criterion puts out DVDs and Blu-rays of what are considered some of the finest movies ever made. And Armageddon, for some reason. A lot of old movies that never would have been released have had their prints cleaned up and put onto a disc loaded with special features. I own a lot of them. Some of my favorites are Sweet Smell of Success, Designed for Living, My Man Godfrey, The Third Man, Rebecca and Notorious. Both of those are out of print. Pick Up on South Street and The Spy Who Came in from the Cold. The sale is available in stores, but the site has a much bigger selection, and I've been told that there's free shipping if you spend a certain amount. Finally, number 5 is The Guild Season 6. I'm a big fan of Felicia Day's web series, which is up at geekandsundry.com. You can watch all previous seasons there for free, and they're in the middle of Season 6 right now. Anyone who's played even the free trial of World of Warcraft can understand how addictive MMOs can be, and I understand the idea of finding good friends online, since I have done the same. This one goes out to my homies on Rotten Tomatoes. And I promise that that is the last time I will ever attempt anything urban on this podcast. Now, on to the Fandom 5 Countdown, where I express my great love of ranking and my lesser love of other things, in a glorious ranked top 5. Election Day was yesterday, and I hope that you all went out and exercised the greatest right you have as an American citizen. If you live in America. If you don't live in America, happy regular middle of the week. I hope you enjoy this list I've made of fictional presidents to celebrate Election Day. Number 5 is James Marshall, as played by Harrison Ford in Air Force One. I want to say that the premise of this movie, a bunch of terrorists board Air Force One, is ludicrous, but the way I hear it now, the nation pre-9/11 was some kind of Wild West with no rules and restrictions of any kind. Despite being alive at the time, I've heard this so many times that I'm pretty sure now that it's true. So terrorists board Air Force One, but President Harrison Ford is having none of that. Sure, he was probably uber-conservative and was all for both guns and the death penalty. But he saved Air Force One and out-badassed not just terrorists, but Gary Oldman. Numero 4 is Andrew Shepard, played by Michael Douglas in The American President. I love Aaron Sorkin. I will eat up everything that he gives me and then beg him for more. So it's no wonder that I love President Shepard. But not only is he an upstanding man who just wants to do good, he's also single and played by Michael Douglas. I've seen this movie criticized for being so frivolous as to portray a president who would have the nerve to date in office. But the story has basis in historical fact. Woodrow Wilson, a widower like Shepard, married during his first term, and he's often ranked among the best presidents in our nation's history. I personally like seeing a more human side of the president. Action heroes who govern and kick ass are cool, but it's nice to see him being a normal guy. So back to the presidents who govern and kick ass. Number 3 is Bill Pullman playing Thomas J. Whitmore in Independence Day. While some presidents would just order the military strike on the aliens and then sit in his bunker twiddling his thumbs, Whitmore actually got into a fighter jet and led his men into war. But mostly, he's on the list for this gem.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yeah. Number two is Laura Roslin from Battlestar Galactica. I was careful in the intro not to make sure that I didn't say American president, because Laura Roslin is actually the president of the 12 colonies. She was actually the Secretary of Education, but when the Cylon attacks decimated humanity, she was the highest-ranking government official left. Despite resistance to a kindergarten teacher becoming president, she led her people bravely and kept them alive, all while battling cancer. I don't even have anything else to say here. She's just awesome. And finally, number one in a landslide is Josiah Bartlett from The West Wing. Yay, more Sorkin! Bartlett's just the kind of man America needs. Brilliant and experienced. He was the governor of New Hampshire, he had a PhD in economics and won the Nobel Prize in his field, he was a good Catholic man who didn't believe in forcing others to follow his personal beliefs, he was hilarious.
You sent me two turkeys. The more photo-friendly of the two gets a presidential pardon and a full life at a children's zoo. The runner-up gets eaten.
If the Oscars were like that, I'd watch.
Mr. President.
And he gave good speech.
More than any time in recent history, America's destiny is not of our own choosing. We did not seek, nor did we provoke, an assault on our freedom and our way of life. We did not expect, nor did we invite, a confrontation with evil. Yet the true measure of a people's strength is how they rise to master that moment when it does arrive. 44 people were killed a couple of hours ago at Tennyson State University. Three swimmers from the men's team were killed, and two others are in critical condition, when after having heard the explosion from their practice facility, they ran into the fire to help get people out. Ran into the fire. The streets of heaven are too crowded with angels tonight. There are students and our teachers and our parents and our friends. The streets of heaven are too crowded with angels. But every time we think we've measured our capacity to meet a challenge, we look up and we're reminded that that capacity may well be limitless. This is a time for American heroes. We will do what is hard. We will achieve what is great. This is a time for American heroes, and we reach for the stars. God bless their memory. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
And that is why Jed Bartlett will always be my president. That's it for Fandom 5 this week. I hope you had a good time with everything you found here this week. If you find anything else fun and fandomy, drop it into my ask at fandom5.tumblr.com, and hopefully I can use it on the show. In the meantime, stay warm, stay nerdy, and if you have a time machine, please don't go back in time to make Romney president. I have seen that alternate future, and if that happens, Robot Romney is still in charge in 2213. Time travel wisely. See you next week.